Thanks for being on time. The clock strikes five. Today we have a privilege of just starting on time. Got some newcomers here, Chloe and Vincent, right? Chloe works for me in the office. So I said, why don't you just come visit? She has a heart for kids, Sharon. So I says, very good, but come and see what we stand for first. And before you just can join Joe for the rest of the time for the kids service interview. People like Brian, good to see you with Tiffany. You see, now I got people younger than you. Don't think you're the youngest, I'm kidding. Good to see you guys, Sharon and the rest. I think some more people coming, and today we're at a time of just having a baptism class as well. Who attended just now? Chris, Denise, Joey, Wilson, so very glad. Silas was just telling me how you have very interesting questions and everything, which is good. If you want to be baptized, we want to encourage baptism, you need to know why you're doing what you're doing. All right, so I think that was fantastic as well. Without further ado, we usually have an opportunity to just get someone to share. This week, we have a privilege of getting this guy called E.T. E.T. is not the alien, but sometimes you think he's alien because you don't see him around. That's because he's got to look after his father on Saturdays, but he's a loyalist. Doesn't sound very royal. He's been around for a long time. He's a cell leader, and he's been always been supportive. So I thought, why don't you just come and just share with us? So can we just invite E.T. to just come? Thanks. Come, invite him. Thank you.
Okay.
Hello. Yeah, good afternoon. So it's written in Ezekiel 3. Eat the scroll, then give the message to the people of Israel. We amen to that. And I was reading through the Bible. This made me wonder, why do we eat the scroll? The scroll is the old scriptures. In current times, it is the Bible. And I read and read again and again and receive this revelation. When we read a book, usually after reading a book, we finish the book, we put it in a shelf, and it's kept forever until we want to read the book again. However, eating, right, we have to eat constantly, every day, until the end of our life. We have to feed every day to sustain our life. So eating the scroll gives me the revelation that we need to read the Bible constantly. Not every day. If one can read every day, then it will be good. But if we couldn't read it every day, it is good that we read whenever we can. So it's like eating like that to sustain our life. Yeah. So as DG introduced, I'm E.T. I'm assisting Jasmine in our cell group that we hold every 2 weeks. Yeah, and what we do in our cell group is we help our members to read the Word of God to facilitate their reading and finding the revelations in our daily lives through the Word of God. Yeah, as a short sharing, I come to know the Lord, our God, Jesus Christ, when I was heartbroken after a breakup. And you all know, when one is heartbroken after a breakup, it is like very heart-wrenching. Then you are like seeking truth or answers everywhere. So I was looking, I was like going. Previously, I was at that point of time, I wasn't a believer. So I was like going temple, going any kind of temple, pray, hope to have an outcome. Yeah. But eventually, my one of the sisters, Angela, she introduced me to DG cell. Then I came to the cell, and DG was telling us. I remember at the first time he was saying, it is a gathering of like-minded people to talk about our daily lives and sharing how we can learn from the Word of God to see a breakthrough in our lives. So I was like, the first meetup was quite encouraging, and I subsequent joined and that was history. Yeah, then I keep joining every week. Yeah. Then after that, I mean, DG shares like he shared a lot of stuff. I believe you all know learn a lot from him, and I keep in mind of what he say about we must constantly read the Bible. And through that, I wasn't really into reading the Bible until subsequently, as I joined the cell group. Subsequently, I read the Word of God, it allows me to, I mean, by the grace of God, I can see revelations in my walk with as a Christian. But yeah, and then to me, right, the Bible, a lot of people find the Bible very challenging, but as I read and read, right, I find it is a revelation. It's a daily revelation when you, every time you read, it speaks to you differently. And then, and as I read, right, the it allows me to find peace with myself. Yeah, I'm a short sharing. I'm a very hot-tempered person. I'm a all tempers, like I'm a quick temper, hot temper, fiery temper, anything you can name. Yeah, as I learn from the Word of God, right, by His grace, right, I learned that the truth sets me free. It is written in scriptures. The truth will set us free. And what is the truth? The truth is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ as the truth allowed me to see myself to that by His grace, right, I can find peace with myself. And I move forward with that in mind, right? I will be able to walk out of what is trapping me. Yeah. So as I continue learning and reading the Word of God, the Bible, right, I gradually change my temperament. I'm still learning. I mean, yeah, like at work, I'm sure all of you sometimes face challenges. Yeah, I still do have temper, but I try and control, and I gradually changed, and then I found that love and companionship, and then with God, and by His grace, because I came to know God through a breakup, and in that walk with God, right, I found the love of my life, my wife, yeah, and. And by the grace, I mean, we got married 2 years ago, and she's a lovely wife and very supportive. She's also a believer, and through our walk, I realized, right, to be able to find someone who is equally yoked, allow us to walk not just together and be supportive of one another in our life, but also to carry on to be growing our faith together in the long run. So coming to a close, for Jesus, right, He shared with His disciple in John 4. He says, "Those who drink the water I give will never thirst again. It becomes a fresh bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." If eating is like reading daily, then drinking is like praying constantly. Whenever we thirst, that means when we are thirsty, we drink. So it's like praying. When we are thirsty for His grace, for His love, and then we drink, we pray. So we start praying whenever we are led by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ will bless us with His love and His grace. So I this is my sharing for today. Thank you.
Thank you. When was that? Cell group, my house. When was that? 2013. I think so. So I met ET, this ET, about 2013, about 10 years ago. He started coming to our cell group. So I always tell people, when people come to cell group, I always like people to come who are not, who were not believers. They just come. We say, just come and spend time together. We learn from each other. And I think from just talking about life in general and everything else, something connected within his spirit, and he followed through, and he's been with us throughout. So I'm really glad to have him. If you read the papers today, a 55-year-old lawyer was brought back from China. Yesterday, I had my reunion of my law school classmates. This guy is one of our classmates, and it just so happened that he's also from my same secondary school. And I don't know the facts, but today's papers, which is what you see, back from China, has been on the run for 15 years, so he says. I want to see him. I remember him to be a believer. He used to play the guitar. I don't know what happened to him. I probably know a bit of things. I want to go and see him. You may think, I don't know how you guys think, but if you have done something that you know may not be right, and if you're on the run, it's not a very good feeling, isn't it? I can even put you in the nicest resort somewhere, 6 stars, no one can find you, but there's something that is within us. And we all have a conscience in it. God deposits something to us. And if you're not right with God, you may also not be feeling right, and things don't pan out. You don't enjoy your life. So I want to urge all of us, when we come before the Lord, it's always about getting our lives right, always wanting to get things right, always wanting to put God first. And isn't that also the word of God? Our job is to help those who are down and out, those who are oppressed. And isn't that the word of God in Matthew? That if those people, when you talk about the sheep and the goats, those people who are in prison, do you go and see them? I remember talking about it, and I was just preparing the messages in October, going to visit those people who are in prison. I want to go and see him. I want to say, my friend, I don't care what happened, God still loves you. Isn't that what our faith is about? Just reaching out to people and making a difference. And not to judge and say, wow, can't make a so you tell you whatever. And in October, we're going to start this new series. It's about identity. And when you see the pictures that some of you will see, I better warn my sister first. I'll be showing some pictures. You know, if we are going to be, our identity is built on what you look like. Have you seen some of your pictures about 20 years ago? I'm going to flash some of them. Not now, but it's quite a horror show. Have you seen yourself in the 1990s? Huh, Karen, this Karen. My wife cannot, because my wife is flawlessly, eternally beautiful. This Karen. Have you seen yourself 20 years ago in those kind of hairstyle, those kind of baggy pants? I'm going to show those pictures. Now, question is this. If your identity is premised on what you are, you got a problem. Because 1990s, you look like that. Year 2, in the noughts, 2000, you look like that. 2010, look like that. 2020. Your identity cannot be premised on how you look, what clothes you wear, what car you drive. Your identity is found in God. God gives us the identity, which is why we're encouraging people to get baptized. Your identity is found in Christ. So I want you to stay tuned in October. We will get started, and a whole series of people. And identity, so many things affect our identity. Your culture affects your identity. Your character affects your identity. Your circumstances affect your identity. A lot of C's we're going to talk about, and that will bring us right through to the end. So I want to encourage you. Think about the Word of God, but don't only think about the Word of God, but do something. When something stirs within your heart, when God prompts you, maybe God tells Owen, go and visit someone. Do it. Don't think too hard. Nah, I tell you. Some people think. By the time you think you don't do something, the time has passed. Why don't we do something that brings glory to God? I would have wanted Wing to come. Wing was so excited. Wing is Sabrina's, I want to say Sabrina's better half. No, Sabrina's heavier half. Not here to think of F1, right? He was so excited because he was in KL. I just texted him, how are you doing? He says, I'm KL with my father. And then after that, I left. He says, okay. And then next thing I know, he sends a message. He says, praise the Lord. I got my father to accept Christ as Savior. Isn't that what it's all about? Going to jail, going to prison, looking out for people. If a student needs help, go out the way to help. If people need our time, just go out there. And our father back in KL needs to know God. We do what it takes. Hey, that's all there is to it. All these staff problems, vaccinations, people leave, whatever, that's okay. We can handle. But we have eternity to look to. Look, make no mistake, guys. You will live forever. Is it Freddie Mercury who says, who wants to live forever? Actually, a lot of people don't want to live forever. Isn't that the song, Ian? Freddie Mercury, who wants to live forever? Are you going to live forever? Ivy, what's the answer? Doctrine, are you going to live forever? Yes or no? Are you living forever, June? Answer is yes. It's only where. Correct? You will live forever, like it or not. Sharon, you will live forever. Question is, where will you spend eternity? It's a fact. We better get it right. So I'm here to tell people some urgency to what is happening, to everything. So I'm so pleased for your heavier half, Wing. My sisters are here. My father got, when would he accept Christ? 85. Benchmark, 85 years old, accept Christ. About there. There's hope for all of us. It comes to my sister, right? Is it? Attacking? Comes to my sister who's here, who I'm sure she doesn't want to see, but she will see a picture of herself in the 90s when I start to see her identity. It was my father who comes to him and then take the picture and say, huh, take this and say, use this when I pass on and I want to be a Christian. But in order for things like that to happen, our lives, hey, I'm not a sinner, please. Sinner saved by grace. What do we say, what we do, how we, people are watching us. The only reason why Malcolm's mother is here, Malcolm's mother, right? Why you keep coming for what? Unless it is God that's touching you. Actually, we still need to preach today. We can do a communion. But I want to encourage us. That's the gospel. So with all the moving parts, Wing's father-in-law, my friend just came back, you know, on the run 15 years. I think he wants to, maybe he's relieved coming back. Sometimes you just come back, you're relieved, right? If you're running, I want to go and see my brother, how are you doing? Is there anything I can do for you? Then I think your life has got meaning. 对吗? Money can always earn back. But your life, once you have passed that time, where do you go for eternity? That's the question that I always want to think about. Without further ado, guys, I wanted to just ask Royston to just come and speak. And after that, today we have a full band. I want to just bring us to the time of worship and bring God and give him all the glory. Can we just welcome Royston? Come.
Thank you, Daniel, for that sum up. Actually, when E.T. came up and then Daniel followed up with what he said, kind of touched all the key points I wanted to say. So he's really correct to say maybe I don't have to preach anymore. But it's a privilege and an honor to be able to stand up here and share God's word with everybody. So before I start, maybe a quick word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this wonderful time, and may you use me as a vessel to speak truth into the lives of everyone that is seated here this afternoon. Thank you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, good afternoon again. Welcome to Agora. If you are here for the first time, this afternoon, I'll be sharing the last part of the series on the book of Nehemiah. And this afternoon, the title of my sharing is Renewal from the Inside Out. So I'm not sure how many here knows their world history? I'm not very good, I must say first. But I had a good fortune to know someone from this country known as Romania when I was working in the US. So during that time, we always take turn, you know, because we are in international office, so we take turn to introduce our country. So that day I was just catching up with him. His name is Cornell, and he's a colonel, so sometimes very funny, we call him Cornell, you know, but anyway. So I was just catching up with him, and then suddenly I was trying to recall what he shared, and I couldn't, so I went to Google about his country, you know. So anyway, quick lowdown. So Romania is a country in the southeastern part of Europe. Beautiful place. The capital is Bucharest. I'm not sure, maybe some of you have visited the country before. But the truth is, they were not always like that. If you can see, there is actually two flags up here. One at the top was the flag that they had for 40 years. Why so? Okay, but prior to that, Romania was actually a constitutional monarchy. But after that, what happened? Actually, it's what's happening in Ukraine right now. By the Russians, they occupied Romania in 1944 and then converted it into a communist country. So Romania became a satellite country to USSR. Those that is old enough will know where that place is, right? And it was a totalitarian regime for 40 years until 1989. So how did it happen? And how did that country come to be? So in my reading, the communist regime then believed the way to change the mind is to rewrite the Romanian history books. So what they did was they call all the historians together and tell them that they have to change the history of their country. You know, how is it going to be taught and expressed? And to state that the entire nation has always been moving towards communism. So literally overnight, the history books were rewritten, and henceforth, this was what every Romanian child was taught, that they were a communist country. So this was very powerful. Okay, what the revolutionary did, they rewrote history. And when you and they believe when you rewrite history, you can rewire the mind of people entirely. But if you ask the Romanian Christians what kept them going during this time, these 40 years, what they did was they continue to be connected to the story of Christ, the Christian story. And through that story, they found their identity. We never coordinate. That helped them to stay faithful. So what story you live by makes all the differences in the world. The communists believe if they rewrite the history, they can change the mind. But conversely, the Romanian Christians believe if they stay connected to the Christian story, means they would have a chance. And so they stayed faithful. And as we speak today, Romania has a lot of Protestant Christians. And of course, who doesn't like a good story, right? The story we hear, we read, we watch, perhaps they tell us many things that we know, even about ourselves. So if someone asks, what's your story? What would you say? So what story are we actually living by? Or what story is shaping you? And do you see the way the stories that you are being told, that you have heard, are they shaping you? We have this innate desire to tell story, right? I mean, a lot of us seated here have children and kids. One of their natural desires to come to you to ask for a story. If not, they will be telling you their story of the day. Yeah, I'm sure teachers would know what I'm trying to say, or parents. Story tells us who we are, about our lives, about where we find meaning, identity, and purpose. Our story may be about what is important in our lives. So we live our lives with the story that we tell ourselves. Wow, I forget to click the slide, sorry. So recap, Once again, I want to thank my brother Gan. I was told by Silas that this slide was prepared by you, so I just patronized. So I use it again. Okay, it's a wonderfully made slide, so we can tell how the previous parts were the, of the series that was being told. So the first seven chapters, we can see from the slide that it was about the restoration of the wall, okay, in Jerusalem, around Jerusalem. And chapter 8 and 9, for the last 2 weeks, shared by Silas and then Daniel, was about the spiritual restoration of the Israelite. So, quick recap. So last week, Daniel shared about how the Israelite, how they came together to confess their sin, to repent. And then within the chapter, it is lovely. Okay, the story in the chapter began with God making us, you know, the human. And then talk about identity, talk about God choosing us, starting a relationship, you know, making promise. And as we go on, it talks about God's commitment, God's passion. But of course, the second part of the story talks about the people refusing to listen. Okay, they becoming stiff-necked and rebellious. But God was still loving, still forgiving, gracious, abounding in love. So he did not give up on them. He sent deliverers and deliverers, but time and time again, we all know what happened, huh? We bought up. And then what happened? Captivity followed by exile. So one of the reasons why we have to retell the story of God to ourselves is that it shows us who our God is and how he is like and what he has done for us. And as we retell that story, we see who we are and then we see what we have to do. So the next three chapters will show God's people after hearing the story being retold and putting things into motion. So they are doing things that are in line with the story that they have been retold. So the first significant change is actually at the last verse of chapter 9. So Daniel stopped at verse 37. So this is where I will kick off. So the first change is they sign a covenant. Okay, the people of Israel in Jerusalem at that time made a covenant towards the Lord. As the verse says, in view of all this, we are making a binding agreement, putting it in writing, and our leaders, our Levites, and our priests are affixing their seals to it. So they are recommitting themselves to live their lives according to the words of the covenant, at the risk of suffering God's curse. If they broke the covenant, then they will be cursed by God. They were basically making themselves consciously accountable to God. So let's see what having a covenant means, as written down here. It's an agreement. It's a contract. It's a promise that is put in writing. And it is also a theological glue. So I read in my search as I prepare this message. And interestingly, I also found that the first human covenant was actually established by God with Noah during the Great Flood. However, what other events, you know, in our present human life that are similar to this covenant that we are talking about? Well, it's baptism and marriage. So baptism is a covenant written with our physical body, all right? And marriage with our vows. We are not to take our faith lightly, sorry. So when we were baptized, we state our lives will revolve around our Lord's wishes. And when we got married, we are saying that we will be deliberately faithful to our spouse. So our decisions in life will be shaped around this commitment. So if your spouse is sitting next to you, can I ask you, turn to each other, hold hands, look into each other's eyes and say, "I will," as you did on your wedding day. So my wife is not here, she's ill, but I'm very sure she's on Zoom. So I will. Hey, y'all never do, alamak. Okay, later can do, So chapter 10, okay, so moving forward, okay, chapter 10 shows the resolution of the revived Israelites. They were not just saying they regretted their unholy lifestyle, but they want to repent from it. So we know regret is when one is sorrowful for the consequences, but when we talk about repentance, it is when one is genuinely sorry because they disobeyed and they want to stop doing what they were doing that has hurt that relationship. So the Israelite finally connected the fact that true worship is when one sees God in every aspect of their life. So this is what fearing, or when we have reverence over God, means. So as leaders of the people, you know, as we can read from the chapter, they could testify that they were ready to change things around. But do not think for a moment that these changes were easy. You know, do not think it is easy to commit yourself to a higher standard that pleases our Lord. Not easy at all. And we lift it every day. We struggle, we fight so that we can stand chest up, stomach in front of our Lord. But what was unique in this chapter, or in this chapter that we read, was this time it was a group movement, a people's movement. Okay? So let's pray, you know, even in our daily lives, that God don't just move one or two of us, but move the entire kampong, the entire village. Because this is a time that many things are happening around the world, and we know that God wants all Christians to stand up and lead the charge from the front. So, 1, 2, 3, okay, I must keep reminding myself, 1, 2, 3. So let's have a look at the gravity of what the Israelites were recommitting themselves to in that covenant. If you can see the list, well, there's only 5 points here, but if you break it down, it's a lot. It's a lot of things that they are committing to, if you were to read every single one. You know, the laws alone, you have moral law, social law, food law, purity laws. Just laws alone, there is already a lot. And the fact is, the Israelites, they knew they could make some changes, but at the same time, they know that if they don't do a clean break, if they do not separate themselves physically from the ungodly, that moment, you know, they are going to lose their identity within one generation. So they were determined to put God's desire above their own preferences. As mentioned, it's not easy to separate spiritual life from other aspects of our earthly life. As I mentioned earlier, we fight every day, every moment, you know. But we know that as a true believer, we need to bring our whole life under the reins of the Holy Spirit. So a Christian is one who follows Christ in all his life. Not easy. Therefore, it's important that we have a death grip I'm not sure you know what a death grip is. You know, when you are gripping till your knuckles turn white. Because literally your life depends on it. So this death grip is on Jesus. It's on God. We have to do it every day. Because you know what is pulling us on the other side? The world. Okay? And beneath or within the world is the devil. So with this covenant, it settled the hearts of the Jews. And it also built a framework on which they could build their new community around. Without this seriousness, without this focus, they were not clear how long their zealousness would last. But take heart, even in our worst state, okay, God has promised and he has said to us that he will remain steadfast and faithful. So what about us? What must we do? So in the next two chapters, which is chapter 11 and halfway of chapter 12, we could see a strong emphasis on infrastructure changes because structure shapes behavior. So in the earlier chapters, we have learned that just building a wall to maintain life was not sufficient. We then went on to learn that just having a spiritual encounter is also tachoko, okay? Not enough. Puko. What we need to do, or what we need, is to go on and secure that spiritual change through changes in the priorities of our lifestyle. So our God desires and he wants to reposition us to best suit his purposes. He places every single one of us where he wants us to serve, to share, or to act. So chapter 11, the Israelites, if you have read, they regather as the people of God. They got everyone together and commence this repopulation movement into the city of Jerusalem. So although the wall was rebuilt, many parts of the city remains in tatters, but because they have decided, they are determined to do what God pleased. So everyone risks whatever they have, you know, because we read from the chapter, you know, lots were cast and families were then handpicked to move into the city of Jerusalem. So everyone did it with full obedience. Everyone was taking ownership as part of this people's movement towards God. So God wants us to own our story within his story. So 1 Peter 2:9, it reminds us that we are chosen, okay? Handpicked, specially selected to carry out his will. So take heart. I think I should. So chapter 12. I will move through the what I needed to share quite quickly, because if you have read chapter 10 and chapter 11, a lot of it was putting all the names inside. I won't even try to read them. But it is what I want to share later that will tie into to these three chapters. But in chapter 12, at least for the first half, because I am supposed to stop at verse 25, the Israelites started to reorder their worship, you know, through reinstating the roles and responsibility that each one has and the need to leave it for the greater good of the entire community. You know, like the priests having leadership roles, and what does it mean? And the Levites, you know, who are specifically chosen to be in charge of worship, in charge of thanksgiving. And it's not just the people with very visible responsibility that was being spoken of, being told to take charge, but even the gatekeepers. You know, because everyone needs to chip in. Everyone needs to do their role in order to ensure that this movement will be successful, this movement will take place at the pace and intensity that God intends it to become. So, right at the beginning, right, God places each man and woman according to his plan with a clear role, sometimes roles, and each role is accompanied with a laundry list of responsibility. And we must be dedicated to do a great job. You know? So for the Lord, all the time. So what does that mean? That means we need to set apart our lives for Him. So when we do that, I am certain that God will be delighted. And He will reveal more of His glory to each and every one of us. And this is what and how we must worship our God. We, as God's people, must be prepared, dedicated, so that the glory of God appears in His house. And truly, we need to do the work well. But doing God's work is also not easy. You know, sometimes the timing is not good. Sometimes we are put in a place we don't like. So, my brother guy, how many times did he? He has been at his job that he's trying to change for the last decade and then some. Okay, constantly he has been reminded that he needs to stick there for a greater purpose. But I think there is a crack in the door. Okay. So we go to our place of work daily, right? And most of us spend a larger part of our day at work. You know, so do you know what are your roles? What are your responsibility? Do you know why God placed you there? Have you ever asked God to reveal the purpose of why He put you there in the first place, or even daily? And lastly, are you doing a good job? Are you delivering great results? So every time, especially in occasions that matter, I will pray for wisdom in my thoughts, speech, and action. But, you know, I'm still human, still weak in the flesh, and sometimes God's up here, so forgetful. And the results of the outcome when I don't pray to God, You guys probably guess what the outcomes will be chipa bomb, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken. So burn and crash. Not very pretty when it matters and I was not committed to cling on to God, the result is terrible. And I have several of them in my lifetime. Not fun. So having heard what the Jews did from chapter 10 to chapter 12. They retold themselves the story of who they are that led them to carry out what they did in the last three chapters. You know, tells you that stories matter. Our story really matter. So which story are you living by? How can we rewrite our story? How can we effect the changes required in our lives in order to walk closely to God, in order to operate our spiritual responsibility in tandem with our earthly responsibility and still deliver a good job, a good result? And as we saw, or as I shared in chapter 10, the changes that the Jews that they committed was not easy. Because change is never easy. It's very uncomfortable when we need to change. Especially if everything is warm and fuzzy, everything is smooth sailing, and suddenly you need to change. Takes a lot. Takes a lot to take that first step. So how do we overcome this? You know, so the common worldly approach is to look at the symptoms. Just like when we go and see a GP, right? Oh, so GP will look at the symptoms. So typically what do? When we need to change, when there is a problem, we spend money, we try to change our work environment, maybe make it more colourful, a few more bean bags, and maybe we provide more Wi-Fi for the young kids these days. Everything will be good. So in other words, the common approach to solving or fixing problem or effecting change is working on the external. Presumably, we believe that if we fix the environment around the person, that person will thrive. But is it true? How God fix problem or effect change? So we all are aware the common play for contemporary wisdom is to work on the external, sort out the symptoms. But our God is different, you know, because He's God. He brings changes from the inside. Our God works inside out, while many, even ourselves, tends to work outside in. The problem before it is external, unfortunately, it is internal. So we have to start to change from the inside out. And we read in Mark 7, verse 15, Jesus was teaching, and it reads, "There's nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him." Sorry. "But the things that come out of a person are what defile him." So, how do we want our story to be told? How can we be refreshed? How can we rewrite our story? So it begins with renewal. And renewal comes from the inside out. Just as Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to 38 has told us or remind us. You know, it reads, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment." So let me share quickly on three practical applications. First, just as we have witnessed what the Israelites did, we need to recommit ourselves. Okay, 10 minutes. Recommit our heart on a daily basis. And when I speak of the heart, I'm referring to our experiences and how this affect our feelings. And this is how we perceive and experience reality, which is what is happening around us in this world. We all know that God sees our heart. So, brothers and sisters, guard it with all your might. through His Word. His Word. So the Bible tells us to never lose heart, have faith and confidence. And when we approach God earnestly with a sincere and pure heart, surrendering our lives to Him, He will renew us, every being of us, completely and thoroughly. Next. Just as the Israelites repopulated the city of Jerusalem, okay, the walls form a structure that shape their behavior, shape their minds. Thus, we need to also repopulate our minds through being sober, aware, and sensitive, dwelling in His Word consistently. Consistent is the word. It's more difficult than it sounds. And like the Israelites, we need to take baby steps, but we definitely need to separate ourselves from the ungodliness in our lives, in the things of this world. And how do we do it? Through not conforming to the world's ways, taking a stand on our belief, taking a stand on our identity, and to seek to possess the same mindset as Christ, which is one of servantship, humility, and sacrifice. Third, we need to reorder our spirit. We must allow the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to govern, to engulf us, which will lead to life and peace. And we do so by constantly focusing on the things above. Focus on eternity daily. What we do every day here on earth, how we live our lives, contribute to the forever. The forever with our heavenly Abba Father. So in so doing, we will be able to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And this fruit will define the role and the responsibility that God has set in place for us wherever you go. So I end by asking the same question. What's your story? So as believer, we know His story. It is the greatest story, one that keeps going on and on. Ones that allow us or prompt us to reach out, to read again and again. You know, not, or I would say, just as E.T. shared earlier, that, you know, typical of us, we read, we put back only when we want it, or we want to look it up, we take it out again. Maybe ages in between. But the Bible, God's Word, is something that we need daily. Okay, we need daily. And the Christian story can be easily summarized into four parts, right? The creation, the fall, the redemption of salvation, which is the third chapter, and the fourth and most important part is the new creation or the hope that God brings into our life. And this Christian story invites everyone in where they can find fellowship, to find family, to find community, to find identity. Without identity, we are fragile. Our story gives meaning and significance to the people who has lost their story. Our story is one where God can rewrite it. It is one that God desires to include us into. But as my brother Gunn shared in our cell group this week, okay, perfect. Only when I was writing this part, this thing came to me. So his sharing was a painting that he saw during his trip to Oxford. I'm sure Daniel also saw the painting, right? So that painting has an image of Jesus standing outside a door. A door without handle. Okay, without a handle. He is waiting patiently. Why? Because people in the inside, which is us, we will need to open the door from the inside out. So what is the story you are in? Once you get your story right, it changes the way we live. Thank you.
Check one, two. Show the. Well, it's not just talking about story, eh? Yeah. That's my story. Yeah. See the guy on the left? That's me. See the girl on the left? She's somewhere around. Karen, you know which one? That's my sister. That's Lei Jin. Scary, right? So when I was 7 years old, I think. So what happened was, I remember like yesterday, all of us gathered together, sipping in some, I think with some bed, and then she'd say, oh, you come here, all come here. All sit down. From now on, what you should do is you will pray to this guy called Jesus. Okay? And you all need to have a Christian name. So you, they say what? Give me a name. Okay, you are Andy. A stupid name, Andy. So I was Andy for a while. Then I didn't like Andy. I became David. David also don't like. Then I became Daniel. And then Daniel stuck. But that was my first cognition of Christ. And all of us have a different story to tell, but we've got to always be mindful that we've got to introduce Christ to people, right? And our identity, like I said, is not dependent on what you were at a certain age. It's nothing. Show the next picture. This is even worse, right? At least two of them are here. In fact, three. These are my mother. My mother died, was it a heart attack? Heart attack, 1997. Saturday morning, she was out there. She was walking somewhere, and then we received a call, and then I was at home. I was the only one still staying. The rest were all married and living elsewhere. Saying something like, your mom is not well outside the neighborhood. So we went there. And she was sitting down. I remember it like yesterday, sitting down in the neighborhood, and she says, I'm not so well, heart a bit, chest pain. So we brought her to the hospital. That was about afternoon. So she had a heart attack in the afternoon. And then I can't remember which hospital. Was it Tan Tock Seng? Then the sisters all came overseas, and I think they came back much later. What happened was she had a heart attack, and then she survived the first one at about 3 o'clock, I think. So she seemed well. And then I remember she looked at me and say, you all go home lah. Everything okay. Yeah. You all just go home, go and rest. Say something like that. Make sure you forget. Don't forget to lock the door. So typical mother and that kind of thing. So all went back home. And then I received a call, which I'll never forget. At 1 a.m. Tring, tring. The phone rang at my house. It was the hospital calling. The kind of call you don't have. Is this the Goh family? I think you better come down now. And we rushed down. Reached there about 10, 20 minutes. And I remember walking that last stretch. Tan Tock Seng last time, you know, the old building, walk in. I remember telling God, if you save my mother, I'll become full-time. That's what I said, TG. But I didn't get full-time because I'm not saying she's not saved, but it was just a thought. And I went there and I saw they were just doing the defibrillator, trying to. By the time we reached there, they were already doing it for about 15, 20 minutes. Just trying to. But she's gone. I saw, and then when my father came in to see, he was totally shocked because there was no warning. She just went. Now, everybody has a history. My question is this. What do we do when people are alive? So the good thing is, I think in the afternoon, I really feel that in the afternoon, we before she said, why don't you guys go home, we prayed for her. A few of us did. Some of my friends, I remember, we prayed for her. And I'm of the view that although she didn't, after that, have a Christian rite and everything else, she was saved. Quite different from my father, who made a conscious decision, and therefore that was quite clear. But even for my mother, I felt that we did pray with her, and before she went off in the evening, in the early mornings, there was an opportunity open, and we prayed for her to you, and we prayed for her. And I remember after that, it was very interesting. Someone after that came to me and says, a few months or whatever, your mother is in heaven. Just out of nowhere, just came to tell me. So that was very encouraging for me. But we don't want to have no assurances, right? I say to you, when we talk about history and whatever else, there's something to be said about the urgency. I don't know why I'm talking about this today, but I just feel like this is something we need to know, everyone. And please don't tell me, Chloe, you are 19 or 20, that you will outlive me. That's never a safe bet. I've known young people. My daughter is a 16-year-old from another church. 16. Just like that. So there's an urgency to do the work of the kingdom. So that Malcolm will bring the mother. We tell Chris and Denise, 不要再等了. I tell Chris and Denise, who are struggling with baptism, I say, you get baptized and you get it right first. Then there's a chance that your mother will come along, isn't it? You're not sure? You talk to me and my siblings. The older ones, they're watching us. But are we able to do something? I'm not even close to my family. I'm saying, God, do what you can, please. Save as many as you can. Because eternity awaits us. That's a fact. You just want to be on the right side. The sheep and the goat. Why do I say I need to go to the prison? You read with me with Matthew 25. You read with me and you tell me what you see. In Matthew 25, you go with me to Matthew 25. The sheep and the goat, the parables of the sheep and the goat. Matthew 25, verse 31. I'll just go down all the way down. The sheep and the goat will be separated. Verse 33, put the sheep on the right, the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my father, take your inheritance. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see a stranger invite you him, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? They thought it would be Jesus, right? You had to do something good for Jesus. But they're missing the point. The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. It is what we do not for Jesus, Sabrina. It is what we do for the people of God and for the people who don't know God. Isn't that what it is? Then he'll say to those on his left, meaning the goats, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not invite me. I needed clothes, you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick up in prison and did not help you? Then he will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. I am not sugarcoating. Brian, Tiffany, I'm reading exactly what the Bible says. It is so clear that I can't even fudge it. It is there. So you've got a decision to make. What kind of life will you make? What is history? History actually is his story, isn't it, Tiffany? What is history? Not Michael Jackson. but God's story? Will God weave his story from the time wearing shorts to the time you become 90? Do you see the picture of me? I mean, if my identity is premised on how I look, I tell you I'm dead. When I look at a picture, I feel like cringing. But our identity is premised on God. The parable of the sheep and the goat. I urge you. The time is urgent. Karen and I had a privilege to just go for a little boat ride with a surgeon. Today I talk a lot, I don't know why. He was from St. Andrews, he's now a surgeon. At Sec 3, he was not doing well. And then he went to Sec 3, all the A-level fail. And then literature don't know what's happening. A mockingbird, he probably thought it's a mocking pig. He was failing. And then in Sec 4, he went for a class. The principal, Harry Tan, came and said, "Hey, Matt, I'm going to be your teacher." Then he started by saying, "This is what it is." And they started by putting there QED. And it's not Sony TV. Yeah? It's QED. What does QED say? Quite easily done. And then he says, "It is easy. Quite easily done." And something just clicked. And then when he saw that it can be done, he woke up. And then once he got interested, you know the 10-year series? At 1980-something, he did the 10-year series until 1959. How not to score? Probably saw the question in 1984. Hey, I've done this before. Are you with me? 1959 O-level he do. Then 84 he do all the way. Of course he became a surgeon. Something clicked. The teachers motivated him. And then I found out that actually we were talking. They says, "We don't know why you talk about primary school." They say, "I'm from Elling North." He said, "Elling North? My mother was there." I said, "What's your name? Chu." "I know. Your mother's R.C. Chu." Everything is connected. Everything. I told him about my kids. I said, they're doctors. I said, "My kids have a condition." He says, "I want you to bring your kids. You should enjoy the boat ride. Let's go out to the sea." Isn't it little things like that that make life interesting and worth it? I want to just lead us in a time of worship as Esther comes. But as you listen and you listen to the songs, it talks about higher calling, it talks about worshiping God. Everything we do, that's only for one thing. It's history. It's nothing about me, Tiffany. I'm not part of it. At the end of the day, when we all go, have we done enough so that God is glorified? Whatever problems you have. I was just talking to a sister who is trying to have a child. It's tough. I'm talking to people who lose their jobs, cannot find jobs, cannot find job. My age, SMRT, whatever, qualifications are all there, but cannot get a job. He suspects it's because of his age. And then we say it's a tight job market, but cannot find a job. Cannot find means cannot find, you know. But of course, they're not going to tell you, "June, sorry. Actually, the answer is you are a bit too old." They won't tell you. You just cannot find a job. How do we help people like that? Do we help those people who are hungry, you give something to eat? Who are thirsty, you give them something to drink, and later I'll be drinking something together with some of my friends. It's a time also to celebrate. You're a stranger, you invited me in. You needed clothes, you clothed me. I was sick and in prison, you came to look for me. If we all do that, I think this world will be won. Everybody. A bit like Brian, right? At the accident, came out, of course, politically correct. Look after the girlfriend, after that, go and look after the rest. Of the people who crash you. Actually, if you're angry, you say, "Well, you're crashing to me. I nearly cannot die. I nearly died. I don't need to help you." But that's not the point, isn't it? The strangers are the people you don't know, you help them, whether they caused the accident or not. That's the gospel. History. Nehemiah talks about the residents. 1 out of 10 had to go and fill up the city, right? With that, I end. Can I ask the musicians to start coming up, please? In Nehemiah chapter 10, as I come to this point, I just want to tell you something. Will you go to Nehemiah chapter 10 as the musicians come up to prepare? We have a time of worship. If you look at Nehemiah chapter 10, this is what the Lord, this is what the Word of God says, right? Verse 36, as it is written, the Lord will bring the firstborn of our sons and our cattle, our herds and our flocks to the house of God, to the priest ministering there. We will bring the first of our ground meal, of our grain offerings, of the fruit of our trees and of our new wine and olive oil. Verse 37, and then we will bring a tithe of our crops to the Levites, for it's the Levites who collect the tithes in all the towns where we work. So the Levites are to bring a tenth of the tithes up to the house of God, to the storerooms of the treasury. The people of Israel, including the Levites, brought their contributions of grain, new wine, olive oil to the storerooms, and so forth. And it ended with this. Royston said it right. We will not neglect the house of our God. We will not neglect the house of our God. Owen, is this the house of our God? Are the cell groups where we meet the house of our God? Are by extension the people that are dear to us, part of the house of God we want to bring in? We will not neglect. That's why I tell Chris and Denise, take care of yourself first. It's like when you are in a, when you're SIA flight, when if the flight there's a problem, the thing drop down. If you have a kid with you, the thing drop down. Who do you put the oxygen mask first? For yourself. After you save yourself, you can save the child, isn't it? I want to encourage you to do that as we come before the Lord. Write history so that as we worship Him, all glory be given unto Him. He's a God, mighty to save. Hosanna to the highest. There is no higher calling as we come before Him. Can we just come before the Lord? Can we stand?
See you. Father, we want to give thanks to you. Lord, you're not slow to your promises. In fact, Lord, Father, you're always on time. And Lord, you desire none should perish.
Amen.
Thank you for loving us. And then, Lord, Father, allow us, help us to love you back. Thank you, Jesus.
Breaks yours, Lord Jesus, and break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I have for the kingdom's cause, as I walk from above into its eternity. Sing Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the high. Lift your hands to say to the Lord, Hosanna, 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 Hosanna in the high. Tell the Lord, heal my heart and make it yours. Sing to the Lord and heal my heart and make it yours. Open my eyes to the things, open my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like you have loved me. Won't you break my heart for what breaks yours? Oh, everything I have for the kingdom. As I walk from heaven to eternity. Tell the Lord Jesus, Hosanna. 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 Hosanna in the high. Hosanna. Hosanna. Jesus, there is no higher calling. There is no higher calling and no greater honor than to bow and kneel before your. I'm so amazed. I'm amazed at your glory and praise. By your mercy, O Lord, I live. Sing to the Lord. There is no, there is no. Sing to the Lord as we bring this to an end. Lord Jesus, there is no higher calling. There is no higher calling and no greater honor than to bow and kneel before you. I'm so amazed. I'm amazed at your glory and praise. By your mercy, O Lord, I live to. I'm amazed at your glory, I'm amazed at your glory and praise. By your mercy, O Lord, I live to worship. O Lord, I live, O Lord, I live to worship. O Lord, I live, O Lord, I live to worship. Your glory embraced by your mercy, O Lord, live to worship. Can you just raise your hands before the Lord as you bring the end service? Father, thank you that we are rewriting history. History belongs to you. Lord, redeem. Redeem our identity so that our identity is fixed on your glory and your name. Father, there is no higher calling, no greater honor than to be able to serve you. Father, the people of God are amazed at your glory. We thank you for hugging us, for embracing us with your mercy. Lord, I live only for one reason. I live to worship you. I live to worship you so that people, when they live and they look at our lives of worship, they will move towards knowing you. So, Father, thank you for all my brothers and sisters, Lord. Heal them, strengthen them, so that, Lord, whatever they need to go through, bless them, encourage them, motivate them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, history maker. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You're good. Smith. See you next week. God bless you.